Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to a special extended episode of Squawk 7000 as we get out of the studio and onto an airfield to talk with the people who love to fly. This weekend, Funfly Aerosports Flying Club organised a breakfast fly-in at the last minute, and it was a chance for pilots to get back in the sky after a long winter, dust off the maps, and enjoy a full Irish breakfast in the company of friends old and new. Sunday was no exception, with over 50 aircraft arriving at Clonbillogue. The voice of Graham Brayton giving them joining instructions from the first arrivals at just after 9 o'clock.
One item just airborne off 27, we'll be doing a left hand circuit as well. So continue now, call established left hand downwind.
Okay, left downwind next. Okay, probably set up Graham for left base if that's okay.
Yeah, you are number one there, so join the left base there, happy there.
Okay, left base behind the Green India, yeah. Call 7. And Victor is in the downwind, about to turn base.
Ryan, how are you?
Mark Brayton, congratulations on Funfly's breakfast fly-in. Give us a sense of what the day's been like.
I think today's been a great success. Planned last minute, the weather played ball. Parish Club let use the facilities, using their restaurant. We're promoting the restaurant as well for all the aviators to come in and use the restaurant again now. And I have to say, massive thanks to the girls. They were under some pressure there today.
Yeah, great, fair play
to them, yeah. But just great day, everything worked out well, no incidents, everything just went perfectly. So thanks to everyone that came, and it's great to see aviation back alive, and we'll do it again in a few weeks in Burr.
Absolutely we will. Give us an idea, some of the traffic, like I won't expect the numbers, but you had a good number of aircraft.
I think, yeah, the boys were saying there was 50 plus aircraft, and then there was a good few helicopters coming and going all day, so it was quite a large turnout. The weather makes it all happen, doesn't it?
We're standing here, the sun is beaming down on us, yeah, and a cold day.
It's a cold day, but yeah. It's a dry day. We had a few showers in the middle of the day, and it looked a little bit hairy, but it worked out well, so thanks whoever's up there fighting the weather.
Tell us about the club and how it's doing this year.
So, yeah, the club is literally thriving. We're very, very, very busy at the moment. A lot of students. We have a lot of students ready for tests. Yesterday alone, we had 2 students go solo. We've been lucky enough with the weather. We'd have quite enough December due to weather. February was one of our busiest months. And basically, we're 4 aircraft in operation really going. And we're hoping to have the 5th aircraft in summer. And plans to get an extra aircraft after that again. So, yeah, it's all going well, thank God.
Okay, well, we're going to go ahead around and have a chat to some of the people here. And Mark, thanks very much indeed for bringing us here.
No problem, Michael. And listen, once again, thanks for coming.
Come back here, Gateway. I want to talk to you for a second first.
No.
All right, see, you thought you were getting away with that one. Out and about already in Clonbillogue today for the fly-in.
Yes, a very nice flight up. It took 20 minutes over the Slieve Blooms.
I was watching your approach. Really nice job on that. A nice bit of side slip in on the way and a very short field landing.
Yeah, well, we can land at 40 miles an hour. And we can cruise at 100 knots.
And does it really nicely. You told me about this man beside you here. Who is he?
Jerry Dwyer.
Jerry, you see from Nace, how we got you into the interview in the first place. What aircraft did you arrive in today?
I arrived in Piper J3. Well, it's actually an L4.
Now, we better tell people, because the aficionados of the Cub will know the difference. The L4 was the military one, was it?
My one was built in 1942 in Lochhaven, and it's now in better condition than when it came out of the factory. Just recently rebuilt by Dave Bruton up in Abbeyfriul, and he just did an absolutely beautiful job. But when it's completely rebuilt, stripped down to the metal, anything that needs to be replaced is replaced. You can get every part you want for those airplanes, still new. Yeah.
And they were famous in their day because the Cub would arrive into a small town in America and they'd pick some fella out of the crowd and have him solo in it.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That might be a bit of a story. Yeah, yeah. But I think it was 18,000 of the L4s came to Europe. Now, the L4 is basically a J3 modified for the military with extra windows put in the cabin.
Glass and the shelf on the top. At the back, I think.
Yeah, the shelf at the back.
Yeah.
And they were used as spotter airplanes in the Second World War. So each artillery battalion had two of them. And the generals used them for flying around to see the front.
What's the engine at?
It's an Ace Continental A65. 65 horsepower. It's quite amazing what you can do on 65 horsepower. You were talking to Gay a minute ago. He has a PA12 with a 150 horsepower engine in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're not lifting a great deal of weight and you're not going very, very fast, but it sounds like a very leisurely way to fly.
Well, the vast majority of the time, our kind of flying is you're going nowhere. Mm. So why do you need to be going nowhere in a hurry, is what I say. Mm. If you want to take somebody up for a flight, you might as well be going slow on 65 horsepower as going fast on 150 horsepower.
Paint the picture for me of a summer day in your aeroplane. Can you have the door open?
Yes.
Can you feel the heat outside? What's it like?
Well, I have the airstrip at the back of the house down the field. So you just roll up in the evening, pull the airplane out and go for an hour's flying. Take somebody for a flight. It is lovely.
Other aeroplanes in the fleet?
PA-12, which just needs a bit of paperwork. Brought in from America, same time as Gay brought in his PA-12. Bob Leavis's old airplane, EIADV, undergoing restoration at the moment, another PA-12, and a Tri-Pacer undergoing restoration.
That's a love of aviation.
It's an affliction. An affliction that Johnny Malloy has to be responsible for getting me involved in it. So I blame him.
We were talking to a young man there earlier on, 14 years of age, on his second flying lesson today. Do you remember when you started?
Yeah. Now, whether it was strictly legal or not.
Oh, we don't worry about that.
Eddie O'Loughlin started me flying in his field. And then I bought that Cub in 1985 or 86 from George Cormack in Scotland, just outside Glasgow. And he flew it over for me. Burke Corbett flew it down to Eddie's field, and Eddie taught me to fly. And Burke Corbett, Phelan Cronin, a few other people handled the paperwork. And that's how I got
that's
flying.
How you get into it. Yeah. Do you remember your first solo?
I do, very well.
Tell us.
I did a couple of go-arounds, and then I landed with about four or five bounces. So I got four or five landings in
for
one
the price
landing.
Of one.
Yeah, and then it took me a while to get back the confidence to go again. Mm-hmm. So I very well remember it.
What's your most interesting destination you've gone to in the Cub?
Oh, I'd say Cranfield for the PFA rally.
Really?
Yeah.
Across the water?
Across the water, yeah. With no radio. 10 gallons of fuel, just barely make it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think I'd do it now,
right.
But 40 years ago, it was great gas.
Yeah. And still loving it?
Still at it, yes. Yeah.
So as the breakfast flying continues at Clonbillogue, of course, coming to a fly-in is one of the things that pilots get to do after their PPL. But sometimes they also run out of ideas. And Mark Dwyer is here with me from Funfly. You have a brilliant idea to encourage private pilots to get out there and see the world.
Yeah, hi, Michael. Yeah, that's right. So last year, I think a lot of clubs and organisations in Ireland have seen this. People get their PPLs and then they kind of bumble around the local area for a bit and then don't really do anything with it. So we had to think about this last year. We came up with the Funfly Wings Award, which is kind of a structured way to get people who have got their licence or maybe have had their licence in the past and have come back to flying. It's given them a structured way to kind of build their experience. And so basically the idea is it's split into bronze, silver and gold. For the bronze, Johns one, for example, it's 50 hours PIC, 100 hours total time. There's a cross-country challenge where you plan a flight wherever you want to go, but 200 nautical miles in total to land a ways. We also have a pilot achievement element of it, where you have to go and learn a new skill, whether that be tailwheel endorsements or tailwheel differences training. It might be flying several new types of aircraft. It might be getting a multi-engine rating or a night rating, something like that. So it's to try and increase your pilot skills. And then one safety element of it, which would be attend a safety seminar, like one of the Gasky safety evenings or one of the other events that are held around the country.
Now, obviously, this is for Funfly members, but you're also opening it to anybody who flies in the country.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the website, funfly.ie, you'll see the link to the Funfly Wings Award. Absolutely open to anyone. It's there for the whole community to take advantage of. And you can register for it in advance. It's free to register. All the details are on the website. You can go and clock up the hours, clock up the miles over the course of this summer, for example. Send us in all the documentation, and then hopefully at the end of the year, Funfly will have a bit of an award ceremony where we present some certificates and some wings badges.
So you actually do get the wings?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, we have the wings made up here, so gold, silver and bronze. Before anyone asks, we've had a few people that have suggested they can jump straight to the gold. You can't, so you need to, despite your experience and your qualifications, everyone has to start at the bottom of the bronze and work up. But for anyone who is experienced, it's fairly straightforward to run through it. And it might be a great opportunity for any experienced pilots to bring along an inexperienced pilot and show them how you do it, and then that might set them on the way to do the bronze award themselves.
And in terms of people getting back to flying as well, because, you know, sometimes people may have done a bit of flying maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, and they might be listening to the podcast thinking, you know what, I'd love to get back to that again. Just what is the pathway to get yourself back and current these days?
So if you've held a license in the past, it's very, very straightforward under the EASA system. So if you want a specific answer to that, get in touch with us, info@funfly.ie, and I'll take a look. But generally speaking, if you've held a license, the EASA licenses are valid for life. If you held a national or a JAR license before that, we can do some paperwork in the background to bring that up to EASA standard. It's very straightforward. It's generally training to proficiency. So depending on how long you've been away from flying, it might be a few hours of flying, it might be a little bit more than that, but any of the training organisations around the country will be able to point in the right direction there. And then it'll be a flight test and, of course, a medical you'll have to do in the background as well. But that's it. It's very straightforward. There's no theory exams to be done if you've held the licence in the past, and I know that puts a lot of people off flying, so that's good to know. And there's a lot of friendly examiners around the country now, and a lot of friendly instructors. So I'd encourage anybody that has let a licence lapsed to go and talk to a local flying club.
And finally, Funfly has grown from strength to strength. Looking forward to a good summer's flying?
Yeah, absolutely. We've had an unbelievably busy February, which is great to see when we compare it to last year. We've been lucky with the weather. It was a slow start to the year with the first couple of weeks in January. It was just pretty much a washout. But yeah, we're looking forward to a really busy summer here, and hopefully more events like this as well.
Mark Dwyer, thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Shay Pardy's also here in Clonmelog this Sunday morning. Shay, plans underway as well, of course, for you for Burr and more fundraising.
Yes, Michael, we are planning 15th of April. A lot of people know about it already, so hopefully we get a day like here, which is simply amazing this morning. Great food, great turnout. And currently for VDP in Burr, we have raised 322,000 over various activities. You know, well, the book, the golf and the fly-in. So hoping the target is 10k on the 15th of April. We'd love to see as many can make it.
And you were very pleased with the turnout last year, and indeed the contributions of the people visiting.
We were delighted, absolutely. We raised €20,000 last year, but it's just great to see the likes of CHC and the Air Corps down. Parachute Club were good enough to drop in, if you pardon the pun. And we hope to see the same again this year. Yeah.
And of course, it's a great opportunity for people to get to see each other and to keep in the loop.
Absolutely. Sort of post-COVID celebration, people getting out of chat. As you see here, you know, they go in for a quick breakfast, but they want to be out about talking to each other and planning the next big day.
Now, of course, there's another event later in the year, which is obviously the public event and Bray. Anything to whet our appetites for that?
Bray is going to be 2 days, I suppose, big change, 29th and 30th of July. And we have confirmation the Red Arrows are back to display this time, and we hope to add a few more. The Vigan is coming back as well, but the likes of the Wingwalkers, the Ravens are back, so stuff that people haven't seen the last few years will be here for July 29th and 30th.
So a good healthy day of aviation, a little bit warmer than maybe it is today.
Hopefully, yeah, but it's dry and it's bright and it's great to be out. you know, absolutely fantastic. And great credit to the Fun Fly and everybody in Clonbilloch here. It's a fantastic day out.
Another familiar face at Clonbilloch today. And she doesn't really want to talk to me, but I'm going to put the wind up her. And I'll tell you what I mean by that, because if you've ever been at an airfield, one of the things that's really valuable is a windsock. Tell me more about how you're involved in them.
Suzanne is my name. Suzanne Riley, myself and Brendan, my husband, decided last year only to start to make windsocks. We have an airstrip of our own at home, and trying to get a windsock from the UK was proving very difficult, especially after Brexit, with VAT and taxes and courier charges. So at the end of it all, we got one and then decided, Brendan decided, right, we'll make our own. So we're starting out, trying to get the word out. Just we've sold a few to a few airfields. Various sizes, whatever size you like, give us a shout, Ireland's Windsock Company. You can find us on Instagram, Ireland's Windsock Company, and contact us that way. Brendan will get in touch with you and give you the prices for whatever size you require. We make them with steel harnesses, and you can always have that. We can just provide material the next time you need one.
I think it's ironic that we're standing with your back to one at the moment as it's blowing there in the distance.
We provided that one in December 21.
And it's still flying.
I hope so.
Well, you often see them at airfields and they're a bit raggedy looking, to be fair. Yes, I mean, it's doing
really
well.
They do have to be replaced at certain times. Yeah, exactly.
Especially in the Irish weather. Yeah. You flew in today on what aircraft?
We flew in a Savannah, Echo India Golf Echo Oscar, which is ours. We base her at home on Loch Gowna.
Mm-hmm. You doing some flying?
I'm getting there, yes. We bought her in 2020, so since that, Brendan's been showing me the ropes. Still flying from the right. But I'm getting the hang of it.
And the word is that you quite enjoyed the radio as well.
I love the radio, Michael. That's where I started. I used to be here in Clonbilloch hanging out with Tony. God rest Tony Bradford. And used to do a lot on the radio. Loved it. Yeah.
All right, well, we'll let you get back to your aircraft and keep an eye out if you need a windsock. Now you know where to find one.
Thank you very much, Michael.
We've moved inside to the breakfast area and I decided I'd join the queue to find out who's in it. Who are you, sir?
Kieran Murphy is my name.
And where are you flying?
I fly out of Ardfert in County Kerry in a C-42. And I suppose my other claim to fame is I'm one of only 16 AMEs in the country. And I was just thinking about it. I think there's only two or three of us that do the medical exams and fly.
Which is not a bad idea, actually, to be fair.
Well, I think it's very important that we have an idea of the environment of the pilots that we're examining. And I mean, in the old days when it was possible, we used to be encouraged to get the jump seats if we were on commercial aircraft. But even now, to have be in the PPL environment, be aware of what the Class 2s need. Also, know what you're doing to somebody if you do happen to ground them or that they're grounded for a period of time. And our objective is always to try and get them back in the air if we can at all.
And I suppose a lot of people who are thinking of learning to fly might be a bit nervous about what's required. And if we're just looking at the Class 2, I mean, you don't have to be this Adonis bodybuilder type to get a Class 2.
Absolutely not. Some people think that you need to be fighter pilot material to sit into a cockpit. The most important thing probably is the vision end of things. And at this stage, any level of visual acuity is acceptable if it can be corrected to the appropriate levels. So we would have commercial pilots with very, very significant corrections on their glasses. A lot of other medical conditions people can fly with. Things like non-insulin dependent diabetes would be one example.
Type 2 with some people.
Type 2 diabetes, type 2. Yeah. And they're moving towards trying to make it possible for insulin dependent diabetics to fly. And Ireland is actually involved in a pilot program with regard to that.
But that, I mean, hugely encouraging, because again, some people who might be listening to us might have already deselected themselves because there would be a notion you couldn't have glasses, for example.
Yes, you can have glasses, you can have hearing aids, you can have limb replacements, you can have limb prostheses, you can have bypass, you can have valve replacements, and it's still possible to fly. Now, you might have restrictions, you might have a safety pilot limitation or something like this. But the number of things that will prevent you flying a light aircraft, particularly under LAPL regulations, the light aircraft pilots regulation, are very, very few. Now, I think commercial pilots obviously are a slightly different environment. And I mean, anybody thinking of becoming, one thing I do come across is I come across young guys who decide to do a class 2 medical but might become commercial pilots down the line, and we would always advise them to do a class 1 medical initially, because then if there's anything that's going to prevent you from flying commercially, you know about it before you go off and
spend a lot of money. Yeah. Is colour vision still an issue?
Colour vision is an issue for commercial pilots. For private pilots, you should have colour vision. But if you don't have colour vision, you can fly with restrictions. And they're incredibly onerous restrictions. They require that you fly in a radio-equipped aircraft to and from radio-equipped airfields within the state in the hours of daylight. So that covers probably 95% of flying, yeah.
And back to your own flying. What got you into it?
I think it was actually reading comics when I was a young fella, reading The Victor. And then I just got very interested in aircraft, and I've always been interested in technology. And when I was in college, when I was supposed to be in the library, I was very often inside in Easton's, thumbing through the aviation magazines, and every now and again I get to buy one. And I think I've had a subscription to Flight probably for, I'd say, 45 years. Yeah, I was tempted to give it up. No, my wife insists I start flying them out. But when it went from being a weekly to a monthly publication, I said, am I going to keep it going? But the monthly is quite good, and it gives you in-depth articles.
That's the internet has changed all of that.
Yes, and I mean the other thing as well is I went to Oshkosh in 2016, so I joined the EAA at that stage, and I continue to stay a member of the EAA and get their magazine, which really gives you a lovely handle on the light aircraft side of things. I think I got my pilot's license about 1990. I started flying. When I got my first paycheck as an intern, the first thing I did was went to Cork Airport and did a little bit of flying with Dennis Joyce and Daphne Mould. I headed on with Daphne and then got my licence in Kerry. Now, I had to give up flying for about 10 or 12 years while kids were born and the house was built. But then I got back to flying about 1988 and got my licence about 1990 and managed to keep the licence since.
If we had your logbook here in front of us, what would be your favourite entry?
There's been quite a few. Now, I only have about 370 hours total. But I did a bit of aerobatics in a yak in Kerry, which was very interesting. But my first aerobatics would have been in the Slingsby in Yorkshire. The guy who was flying did a little bit of low level with me, as well as let me do some myself between 3 and 5,000 feet. Other, I suppose, lots of other interesting flights from time to time. There was one day I was short of hours to do my SEP revalidation, and I did a flight around the country, 7.5 hours on my own the one day. Took off from Kerry, flew to Waterford, refueled in Waterford, flew over Kilkenny, up to Sligo, onto Donegal, refuelled in Donegal, and right back down the west coast into Kerry with about 7 minutes to spare to the end of VFR.
So 7 minutes make all the difference.
Makes all the difference.
So you drove up today, but you're looking forward to a flying summer?
Oh, I'm very much so. I mean, if we get the weather now, I'm just getting familiar with the C-42. And at the moment, I've really only been doing circuit work. But once I've done a bit of cross-country with that, I'd hope to get to a lot of the fly-ins. Last year I aimed to go to 4 air shows and I only got to 1. But I miss the smell of Jet A1. So I'm heading for Riyadh this summer. I have to get the smell of the big jets again.
And our special edition of Squawk 7000 from Clonbillogue and the Funfly Breakfast fly-in continues after this short break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And of course, fly-ins are not only for people who are experienced flyers, but people who've started to fly. And two men in front of me here, who are going to introduce themselves in a moment, a father and son in the world of flying. What are the names?
Yeah, so I'm Ronan Coleman.
I'm Daniel Coleman.
Where are you from?
Just outside Killarney in Kerry.
And here in Clonbillogue today. And you started to learn to fly with Funfly.
This was, I suppose it was always a lifelong ambition of mine to learn to fly. Yeah. Daniel, my son now, he's just turned 14, and his path in life seems to be flying, so that's what he wants to do, become a commercial airline pilot. So I said, yeah. I said, we were on holidays recently, and we said, why not go away and two of us learn to fly and get our pilot's license.
Very
yeah,
good.
So it all started there.
And the interest in flying, as I said, did it come from dad, or was it something that you were sort of looking at yourself anyway?
For me, it was really just playing my computer on flight simulators, getting into them, and I suppose, yeah, partially came from my dad, because sometimes, you know, every now and again he'd bring up about pilot licenses and, oh, one day I want to do this. Well, you know, now we're actually doing it, and it's pretty surreal, to be honest.
And a lot of people would understand that you probably have to be 16 before you can solo, but you can be any age to start to learn.
Yeah, you have to be 16 before you can solo fly and actually qualify for your license. But you can start at 14, and I see no reason why not start clocking in hours, like, you know.
Well, it's the advantage, of course, isn't it, of the younger brain absorbing all the information.
Absolutely, yeah. So there's going to be a bit of competition in the house going forward.
Could you imagine a father and son in a bit of competition? But you'll also be study buddies as well. Who's better at the books?
Well, as you know, with age, the mind starts to slow down. So, yeah, definitely he has the edge of me there. But even coming up now this morning from Kerry, like, we were driving, and just the conversation was, you know, we were just hopping things off each other. And like it's always good, not just reading books and studying the theory, but to have a conversation with somebody else about it and just firing questions at each other. It's, you know, it's definitely beneficial.
Now, you were both doing lessons today. What were you at today?
Today I was practicing my second lesson, straight and level flying. So keeping, you know, straight and level. So it's as simple, like, you know, working with the throttle, really just getting feel of the aircraft.
And of course, the interesting thing is, you say that you've played with Flight Sim before, and, you know, there's the famous joke about, can anyone fly the plane? Oh yeah, I've got Microsoft Flight Sim. Yeah. Did it help, or at some stage do you have to realise that, you know, it's actually a very much more physical thing when you're flying?
It helped a lot with the theory and the principle of it, of flying a plane, like, but it's completely different as to the feel of the aircraft, because a flight stick at home, you can't feel it, like, you know, it's not the same at all.
Your lesson, what are you at?
Yeah, so it was the same as Daniel now, and it went well. I was up with Mark today. He was great. Yeah, and I suppose definitely a bit more confidence today. And I was happy with it now. So it looked like we're in the early stages, and absolutely loving it, and I can't wait to get back up here again.
I can see from both of you that you're enjoying it. That's the important thing.
This is something we're both, it's great for me to have my son doing it as well. Yeah. And it makes it all that bit more enjoyable. And if it's something he pursues in life, I'd be delighted for him. And every bit helps.
What do your mates make of this?
I haven't told a lot of my friends yet, but the ones that I have told, the first thing they say, "What? You're flying already?" Because I've obviously told them I want to be a pilot and stuff like that, and they just think it's so cool. And I say, "One day I'm gonna bring you up. Bring you up in a plane."
Well, that's always the thing to see, which of your friends will want to go with you, which is the other side of it when it comes to it, a real sign of trust when you do it. I'm just thinking about the other thing, of course, for people when they start into it. Before you started, you had a notion of what it was going to be like. And now that you're in it, is it better or as the same as you expected?
It's way better than I expected. I wasn't expecting such a thrill from it. Even taking off, it's quite exhilarating. First time. I really love it.
I think a lot of it too is who you're with. Yeah. So far anyway, all the guys here that we've met anyway, they're really nice. And they're really helpful. They're a really nice bunch of lads.
Final question then about the Savannah, the aircraft that you're flying, because a lot of people might have heard about the Savannah, and you've obviously just been introduced to it. So what are your impressions of it?
Yeah, it's been said to be a fantastic training aircraft. Mm-hmm. It's compact. It seems quite easy to fly. We're actually committed now to building one. I have a kit bought off Mark, so it'll be a few months before we get it, the idea is hopefully by the time that project is completed, we'll be able to fly it. Right in the deep end.
I'm fascinated by this because I've had the pleasure of chatting to people before who've built, and it takes a certain kind of mind of being meticulous. Now, you wouldn't be a bodge jobber at home with the DIY.
No. I my background is in fabrication, so I'd have a little bit of an edge there. But look, I must admit, I always thought something like having your own aircraft was something you had to have a lot of money for. But it's not actually. I won't say it's cheap, but it is affordable if you do it the right way.
Well, the joke in aviation, which is when the fella goes down the street and he meets the manager from the credit union, and the credit union manager says to him, "How's that kitchen of yours flying?"
Very good. Yeah.
I know, the old ones are the best ones. With that one. Will you be involved in the build?
As much as I possibly can. I'd love to be involved, but...
Don't worry, he will be involved. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Document, Nate. We're going to take pictures, document. Honestly, we're just dying to get at it now.
For me, a father-son project. Can't get better.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Still here in Clonbillogue with the sound of a Cessna 172 taking off, but a man beside me here who might know something about a Cessna 170 is worth talking to. Enda McNeil, the Cessna 170, how did it enter your life?
My son spotted it on Facebook and thought it was a great idea, that it'd be a good daddy-son project. And that's pretty much the amount of involvement my son had with it. Yeah, so the aircraft was based in Germany, and it had a serious engine problem. So the guy was, it seemed good value. But because of COVID, we couldn't get over to see it, so we had to buy it over FaceTime and whatnot. So we had to pay to get it dismantled over there, and we brought it back in a container. And the aircraft was... We had one piece of corrosion on the engine, or on the airframe, and easily fixed. The engine, we understood, was pretty much... Well, it was told to us that it was scrap, but actually the crankshaft was good, and the camshaft was good, and the case halves were good, so we rebuilt it starting there. We sent this crankshaft out, got it reground, put new shells in, new cylinders, new pistons, new rings, lifters, tappets, the whole jute match. I built it with the ILS inspector, my ILS inspector, who's covered on the engines because it's only certain individuals are allowed in Eilat. Rebuilt it, fitted in, had the airplane in my garage, just squeezed it in without the wings. So we did some rewiring and stuff. There was some aspects of the aircraft I wasn't overly happy with. So we tidied up that and refitted the engine, ran the engine at the back of the house to make sure everything was okay. Then we moved.
We'll talk about that in a minute, but I suppose I just wanted to make sure as well that somebody listened to us who might know what the Cessna 170 looks like. A brief description of it and its era.
It's the predecessor of the 172. So it is a tail dragger. And kind of typical 50s, it is more rounded surfaces than, say, the 172. It's powered by a six-cylinder 0300A engine, a fixed-pitch prop, and it has the typical Cessna spring gear.
And instruments, one step up a little bit from steam gauge.
No, we were lucky. The aircraft actually came with a new 8.23 radio. And I left pretty much as is, you know. Like, at the end of the day, it's a VFR airplane.
Tell us about the first engine run, then.
I put the engine together, and I live in Kildare. It's not an estate, but we have neighbours. So... We dragged it out of the garage, and it was early in the project, so we hadn't a battery bought at this stage, so we jump-started off the car, and we had a jury fuel system rigged up.
A few concrete blocks to keep it on the ground, no wings, and it started.
Yeah, it did, yeah. It started and it ran quite well.
So, what's the flying future for it?
We only test fluid... We bought this aircraft in, I think it was October 21. It's over 2 years. It was realistically, other than the engine, we only had to reassemble it. Like, so it just took far too long with work life and whatnot. So we only test flew it last week. It flew good. There was no issue with rigging or anything. So we will hopefully get a permit on it this week, and we hope to bring it to Weston on the 1st of April for the private
flyer show.
And yeah, my son hopes to fly it, and then Jim Halligan, who he's the other partner in crime here. So yeah, so hopefully we'll be out and about this summer in it and see what happens.
What's the reg to look out for?
Echo India Alpha Echo Papa.
Nice, so early reg that.
Yes, I used to own a Cessna 120 years ago, and it was Echo India Alpha Echo Delta, which was a range of... That was the earliest one. Aer Lingus in the 40s. Block booked a number of regs for aircraft that never actually came. And when we were registering the 120 back in 2008, I think, I happened to know the guy in the head of registration at the time. He used to be my sergeant major back in the Air Corps. And I remember ringing Flan and saying, can I have this reg? I believe there's a load of regs there that was never allocated. And you could hear the disgust in his voice, where he had to leave his computer screen and get this big book down. And you could hear... I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I heard him slapping it on the table and blowing the dust off it. And I goes, you're right. How did you know that? Like, I says, can I have it? Can I have AED? And he goes, give me a day. I need to see, did anyone else request this over the years, and if there hasn't, we might be able to do something. So subsequent to that, then there was a lot of those old AE serial number registrations come. So I think we're coming to the end of them now. I think Echo Papa might be one of the last ones, like, you know. So it would be from the I think that AE series is actually from the 40s, so The 170 is actually a 1955 model, like, so it's so a little out of
it. I was thinking probably, yeah, if you think about the Viscounts were AF and the DC3s were ACs and
ACK and all that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So you're nicely positioned there with the nostalgic.
So it's not our intention to put anything fancy on it, like, you know, it's going to be all round gauges and that's it, you know.
VFR flying in Ireland.
VFR flying in Ireland, you know, so.
And Burr well represented today in Clonbillogue. Colm, you came down in what?
I came down to Satabria with Dave Corby, myself and him, and Tom and Declan McCann came in our Eurostar.
And we were, of course, hearing from Shay earlier on that you'll have your own fly-in April 15th.
April 15th, yeah. I was trying to mess with Brian O'Keefe's head inside saying it was the 24th. No, but it is actually the 15th. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. So it's nice to get fly-ins back. It's great to see Clonbillogue having one today. It's lovely to get back out flying. The previous few years with the COVID and everything, we were all bound to... We were playing golf on our runway during COVID, you know, because we couldn't fly. But yeah, it's lovely to see people out flying. It's great to see so many people up here this morning. So it's lovely, yeah. Really happy to be out.
Copy that, continue call finals.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.